and the sand in the finer dust grains carried by the wind is protected by the material that gathers on its surface. Why, if a pebble of the size of a hickory nut may be ages and ages old, almost in the very form which you see it, think what the age of this long-enduring part of a grain of dust must be. Then remember what the ever-changing material on the surface of these immortal grains is made of, the dust particles of plants and animals, of buried Caesars and still older ancients, such as those early settlers of Chapter 2. Finally, if what we call flesh and blood can think and talk, why not a grain of dust? In fact, what is flesh and blood but dust come back to life? Says the poet, and poets know, the very dust that blows along the street once whispered to its love that life is sweet. You see, it's as likely a thing as could happen, this whole story. The Grain of Dust, per H.H. End of Preface. Chapter 1 of The Adventures of a Grain of Dust by Hallam Hawksworth. The Little Old Man of the Rock. January. In truth, you'll find it hard to say how it could ever have been young, it looks so old and gray. Wordsworth. The Little Old Man of the Rock. Some say it was Leif Erikson, some say it was Columbus, but I say it was the Little Old Man of the Rock. And I go further. I say he not only discovered America, but Europe, Asia, and Africa, and the islands of the sea. I'll tell you why. 1. How little Mr. Lichen discovered the world. As everybody knows, we must all eat to live, and how could either Columbus or anybody else, except Mr. Lichen, have done much discovering in a world where there was nothing to eat? When the continents first rose out of the sea, there wasn't anything to eat but rock. Rock, to be sure, makes very good eating if you have the stomach for it, as Mr. Lichen has. It contains sulfur, phosphorus, silica, potash, soda, iron, and other things that plants are fond of. But ordinary plants can't get these things out of the rock, let alone human beings and other animals. And that's why Mr. Lichen had the first seat at the table and always does. On bare granite boulders in the fields, on the rocky ruins at the foot of mountains, and even on the mountaintops themselves, on projecting rocks far above the snow line, you find the lichens. On rock of every kind, they settle down and get to work. They never complain of the climate, hot or cold, moist or dry. When the land goes dry, they simply knock off, and then when a little moisture is to be had, they're busy again. A little goes a long way with members of the family who live in regions where water is scarce. Indeed, most of them get along with hardly any moisture at all. The very hardiest of them are so small that a whole colony looks like a mere stain upon the rock. While lichens are generally gray, they seem to have been born old, these queer little men of the rock, you can find some that are black, others bright yellow or cream-colored. Others are pure white or of various rusty and leaden shades. Some are of the color of little mice. To make out any shapes in these tiny forms, you must look very close, and if you have a hand lens, you will be surprised to find that this fairy land of the lichens isn't so drab as it appears to the naked eye. For there are flower gardens, the tiny spore cups. Some of them are vivid crimson, and standing out on a background of pure white, they're very lovely. Some of the science people believe the colors attract the minute insects that the lens shows wandering around in these fairy flower gardens. But just what the insects can be there for, nobody knows, since the lichens are scattered, not by insects, but by the wind. As a rule, lichens grow only in open, exposed places, although some are like the violets, they enjoy the shade. Some varieties grow on trees, some on the ground, others on the bleached bones of animals in fields and wastes, and on the bones of whales cast up by the sea. Of course, the whole country was awfully wild when the continents first came out of the sea, but that just suited Mr. Lichen, for there is one thing he can't stand, and that is city life, with its smoke and bad air. Why can't one get one's breath? He says. Why the lichens dislike city life. So while you will not meet Mr. Lichen in cities, at least until after the people are all gone, that is to say, on ruins of cities of the past, you will find him beautifying the ancient walls of abbeys, old seats of learning like Oxford, and the tombstones of the cities of the dead. Mr. Lichen always travels light. On the surface of the lichens are what seem to be little grains of dust, and these serve the purpose of seeds. A puff of wind will carry away thousands of them, and so start new colonies in lands remote.